Both the men's and women's discipleship groups have been memorizing different Bible verses each week as part of our time together. The last 2 weeks, the guys have been working on two verses. They're found in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to ask if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles there to Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there's a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. You can turn to page 178 of the pew Bible. I'll say this, if you don't have a Bible, we would like this to be a gift from us, that you could take that pew Bible as yours. We believe the Word of God is powerful and mighty, and we want to make sure that you have a copy of it. Joshua chapter 1, we've been memorizing verses 8 and 9. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he would be with him wherever he went. And he promised that he was going to lead him to a land, the promised land, as an inheritance for Abraham and his descendants. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and God would later change his name to Israel, in Genesis chapter 32:28, has 12 sons. This is where we get the 12 tribes of Israel from. These 12 brothers were jealous of Joseph because Joseph was daddy's favorite. So they sold Joseph into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 42, a famine has gotten so bad that Jacob, aka Israel, sends 10 of his sons down to Egypt to buy with the hope of buying food. They get there and they end up realizing that the second man in charge, the man with the most power next to Pharaoh himself, is Joseph, whom they had sold into slavery. The brothers are worried. He's going to recognize us. He's going to try to get even for what we did to him. But Joseph tells his brothers not to worry. He says to them, though you meant it for harm, God meant it for good. Joseph tells them that it's going to get worse. The famine's going to continue. So go back and bring my father and their families and come to Egypt. And they move, Joseph and Jacob's family and all the brothers come. And they move to Egypt. And Joseph puts them in a protected land where they could pasture their flocks and come under the protection of Pharaoh and his armies. But Pharaoh and Joseph soon die. And a new generation of leaders come up. The new Pharaoh are afraid of the Israelites because they're becoming so numerous. So they oppress them and they put them into hard labor, into slave labor. And so for 400 years, the people of Israel suffered and were oppressed until God finally raises up Moses. God would use Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt and return them to the promised land. Numbers chapter 12, God tells Moses to send one man from each tribe out to spy out the land. When they return, all 12 spies affirm that the land that they were going to go into was plentiful. There was indeed flowing with milk and honey. In fact, it was so fruitful and plentiful that it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes that they had to put on a pole between them. But there were strong armies, fortified cities. There were giants in the land. 10 of the spies said, we could never take the land. But 2, Caleb and Joshua, said, no, we should go in. We can take it. The people of Israel refused. They rebelled. They refused to go into land. And because of their rebellion, God made them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until that entire generation who rebelled against God and refused to go into the promised land, all passed away. only Joshua would be allowed to enter the promised land. Here in Joshua chapter 1, in fact, in verse 1, we read that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." Skip down to verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." So verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for I shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Moses has died, and Joshua is now the leader of Israel. He's the one who's going to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Now, he has just spent the last 40 years wandering around the desert with this unbelieving generation who refused to enter the promised land, and watched them as one by one they died away. And now God has commanded Joshua to lead this new generation into the very land that their fathers had refused to enter. Joshua watched as Moses tried to lead these people into the wilderness. He watched them grumble and complain for 40 years. He was on that original spy mission. He knows what's ahead, and he knows who he's traveling with. This is going to require great courage in obedience to the Lord. I'd say in our day, we are going to need great courage and obedience to the Lord. Each of us need to hear and heed the words of the Lord to Joshua. Listen again to verse 8 now. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Think about this for a minute. After Jesus cast out demons in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees said that the work that Jesus did, he did from the power of Satan. Jesus, in rebuking these Pharisees, he said to them in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of evil treasure brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What you speak, the things you say, are a reflection of what you've treasured, what you've stored up in your heart. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It should be so deeply embedded in your heart that it shapes and colors everything you say and everything you do. As I said earlier, we've been memorizing Scripture as part of our discipleship group. It's a good thing to memorize Scripture. Scripture memorization is important discipline for the disciple, a follower of Christ. But Scripture memorization is only the first step. We have to move the Word of God from our head deep into our hearts. But how do we do that? "You shall meditate on it day and night." The Lord is not telling Joshua to sit in some lotus position with his legs crossed, emptying his mind like the Buddhists. Now, that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation isn't emptying our mind, it's focusing our mind. The Hebrew word that is translated here as meditate can mean to murmur, to chew it over, to focus our attention on, to ponder. It is about thinking and going over something in your mind. Something like the image of a cow chewing its cud. And this is, you know, where a cow eats something and then it re-chews it five times as it just ekes out every bit of nutrients out of the food that it's chewed and chewed and chewed. You may not realize it, but I would say many of you are actually experts at meditation. Yeah, I think a lot of you are really good at it, but you just don't realize you're good at meditation because you haven't called it meditation. You've called it worry. You see, worry has a lot of the same practices and techniques that we use when we use in meditation. Instead of meditating on the word of God, we worry about the what-ifs of life. At night, you lay in bed and you play over and over again in your mind the endless possibilities of the what-ifs. You play out the different scenarios in your mind. If this happens, then if that happens, I'll do this. See, worry is a form of meditation, but it's meditating on the wrong thing. Biblical meditation is chewing over, playing out what are the ways the Word of God will work out in the situations that we face in life. Biblical meditation is not a mental exercise alone, but it moves us to action. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Memorizing the Word of God is important because once you have it memorized, the Holy Spirit can pull it out and remind us of what God's Word says. Memorizing the Word of God is important so that when we're laying there on a bed at night, instead of worrying about the what-ifs of life, we can focus on the thus saith the Lord. Meditating on the Word of God moves God's Word deep into our hearts like good treasure, so his word will not depart from our mouths. It is from the outflow of our hearts we live according to the Word of God. We must be careful to live and do according to all that the Word of God commands us. As James says, you must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It is when the Word of God is hidden in your hearts and then coupled with your obedience that you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? The Lord says to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love the way the Message, it's a paraphrase, and I love the way the Message translates these verses. It puts it this way. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you will get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I command you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Sometimes there's value in reading in different translations. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Word of God, and obedient to his leading, we have nothing to fear. We can be courageous. God is with you every step of the way. Even into a land that is filled with mighty men and fortified cities and giants. Meditation helps us to be strong and courageous. Three times in these verses from 1 through 9, three times the Lord instructs Joshua that he needs to be strong and courageous. But we can't be strong and courageous in and of ourselves. To be strong and courageous for what the Lord wants us to do, we need to be in close relationship with Him. We need to meditate on God's Word. Not only read about how God loves us and cares us for us, we need to meditate on these truths that the Word of God teaches us so that we experience His love and His care for us deep within our hearts and our soul. When I have studied and meditated upon His Word, I remember His love and His power. Know that He is trustworthy and true. I know and remember and believe what the psalmist writes in Psalm 28, verse 7, and what it means for me personally, that the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart, trust in Him, and I am helped. Be strong and courageous. But why do we need to be strong and courageous in the Lord? Well, we saw in this passage that we need to be strong and courageous so that we'll obey. Let's practice meditation for a second here. Let's try this on this passage, this ideal of be strong and courageous. I would ask myself some questions if I was going to meditate on this passage. Why did Joshua need to be strong and courageous? After all, God's leading him. Well, he definitely needed to be strong and courageous because the people he was leading had a history of not following, of grumbling and complaining, of rebellion. To lead and not be swayed by people, he was going to need to be strong and courageous. Not only did the people have a history of not wanting to follow the Lord, but the battle plan that the Lord was going to give him was not your typical military operation. You're not going to find this in the textbooks at West Point. It wasn't run some drills and train your men for battle. It was, let's circumcise all the guys. It wasn't pull out your swords and I will help you defeat them. It was pull out your trumpets and march around the city seven times. And as you blow your trumpets, the walls will come tumbling down. Then I will help you defeat these people. And imagine having to explain and to lead a people with this crazy plan. Joshua was going to need strength and courage to obey the Lord. Okay, so let's chew this over a little bit. How could this help us today? Be strong and courageous. Well, what is the Lord calling you to do? Do you need to be strong and courageous to be bold to tell others about your faith? Do you need to be strong and courageous to follow something the Lord is leading you to do? Maybe He's calling you to some life change, a different job, a move to another place. Going back to school, changing your schedule so you have more time to serve Him. Be strong and courageous. So often I know that I can read something and not meditate on it, and I continue on the same course I've been on without changing because I'm not strong. I'm not courageous. If I would take some time and truly meditate on the Lord and His Word, I would find that He gives me the strength and the courage I need to do and to follow where He's leading. I would find that I know God's Word better, and it's being stored up in a way that directs my actions. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Meditation helps put his word in our hearts, helps us to be strong and courageous, helps us to be obedient. Meditation helps us to be successful. Success how? Successful in what the Lord is calling you to do. Successful in living a life that is full, in living a life abundantly, in experiencing the fullness of life. Now, this success is not necessarily monetarily. Instead, it is success in accomplishing all that the Lord has in mind for us and experiencing a closeness with Him. Being successful is going through life accomplishing His will. Being successful means hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Being successful means experiencing the fullness that only comes through following the Lord and being blessed. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The ladies are quoting this that are in this small group. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaves does not wither. And all he does, he prospers. If we want to prosper in life for the Lord, then we need to take some time and meditate on his word so that we can be strong and courageous, so that we can walk in obedience, so that we can be successful in the life that God has called us to live. Okay, Pastor, you've convinced me I need to meditate, but now how do I do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Someone has said meditation is reading scripture and staring out the window. You know, we live in a culture, in a time. We have an entire generation that's coming up that doesn't know how to imagine. All we know how to do is click on the next thing. We haven't even finished reading one headline, and we're reading the next headline. We're so filling ourselves with so much information that we never process anything. We never pause long enough to dream, to imagine, to envision. See, to meditate on the Word of God, we need to pause long enough to quiet ourselves, turn off the electronics for a moment, and to sit in the presence of God, and to invite him into that space, to recognize his presence, to read his word slowly, over and over again, to invite the Spirit of God, come, speak to me, to have ears open to hear, to pause long enough to sit quietly in his presence, to read his word, to chew it over and over again, and then ask some questions of it. Lord, what are you speaking in this passage? Who are you speaking to? How did they respond to what was being said? How do you want me to respond? What are you saying to me? We have to quiet ourselves. To read slowly, to allow ourselves to imagine, and to hear the voice of God. And then we will be strong and courageous. Then, out of the flow of our hearts, the Word of God will be present. We will walk in obedience, and we will have success in God's way. Father, most gracious God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word, your living word, and your Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to meditate, to think deeply, to allow your word to move from our ears to our head, from our head to our hearts, that we might treasure it up, so that your word may shape and color everything we say, everything we do, that it all may be done for your glory. We ask this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.